Thank you, Mrs. Lapp. What a blessing that is. Amen. Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, for when we turned just a moment ago. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. You know, I ask this question to my children often, and that is this. My son, he says, give me thine heart and let watch it, thine eyes observe my ways. And so many times in rearing our children for the Lord, we would ask them, do we have your heart? Do we have your heart? Because out of the heart is the decisions that a person makes in their life. And so we wanted to make sure that we had their heart so that they could give us a hearing as to what the Bible would teach. And so I want to speak tonight on this as we're dealing with hard things, living by principle, living by principle. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What's that mean? Well, you can't trust your heart. You can't let your heart lead you, if you will. You're not led by it. When decision-making situations come up, if you will, you don't respond immediately. You calm down. We take people to the mission field, and I tell people all the time, everybody I take to the mission field, here's what I tell them. Whatever you do, you're on the mission field. You're going to see all the poverty. You're going to see all the need. So please, whatever you do, go home and pray about it for a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, because everybody that I've taken to a mission field comes to me and says this, well, preacher, I really believe that maybe God could use me here. There's just such a great need, and it is, but you want to make sure that you're in the will of God. And the will of God is never that which is being led by emotions. And so I'd always say, look, get away from the emotions of it. Go home, pray for about 3 weeks, 3 months, get your head clear so that God can definitely lead you as to what to do. So I tell people, calm down with their emotions. You know, decide, if you will, to do what God wants and not what you feel. If you take this, it eliminates a lot of the stress when it comes to making decisions. You know, of course, the Bible teaches about principle-related decisions. Most successful Christians are ones that live by principle. The most successful parent is a parent that lives by a principle or principles. The most successful pastors are those that I know that live by principle or by principles. The most successful leaders that I know that I've come across in my many years of ministry are those that are governed and they lead by principle or by principles. The same thing in ministries, the same thing in businesses. Most dependable people that I've ever met in my life are people that live by principle. You know, principles anchor our lives. Principles, if you would please, makes our lives stable. Principles, if you will, make us to live in such a way that we are readable and that we are predictable. And so in today's society, we have a lot of what we call situation ethics. Now, what's that mean? Well, it means this. It means that you determine your behavior based on the situation that is at hand. Now, that involves humanistic reasoning, and you cannot rely on that. You know, the Bible teaches that we find the principle, and then we allow that to govern our lives, not the emotions, if you will, please. People today should decide to live by principle. Now, what's that mean? Let me give you a couple of statements. What's it mean to live by principle? Statement number one, what does it mean? What it means to live by principle. Okay? Well, what is a principle? A principle is the rule that you have determined to follow. That's a principle. What is a principle? It's a code of conduct that you require of yourself. That's a principle. You know, a principle becomes a part of the fundamentals of your life. What is a principle? Your principles is a part of the foundation of your life. That's why I think it's very wise as you have children that you teach them Bible principles. Why? One day you'll be gone, but Bible principles never go away. One day you may change in old age, but can I tell you, Bible principles never change. So it's always good to be able to go back to Bible principles. You know, your principles determine your morals in your life. Your principles will determine, of course, you know, the timeline of being able to follow certain guidelines when you start to go through changes in your life. So we see that what it means to live by principle is to have, if you would please, a code of conduct whereby you require yourself to obey. Statement number two, Bible principles use Bible truth as their foundation. Bible principles use Bible truth as their foundation. Example, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, so here's my principle out of that. I'm not going to say anything, repeat anything that I don't know 100% to be true. That's a Bible principle. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 11. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It says, neither, it says, deal falsely. It says, neither lie one to another. So here's my Bible principle, that I'm not going to steal or I'm not going to deal with somebody dishonestly. Okay? I'd rather, and I've said this often, I've taught our children this, it'd be far better for you to suffer loss than to hurt someone. Even if that means losing money, you know, it'd be far better to lose money than to lose a friendship. So my integrity is more important than my wallet. And your integrity should be more important than your wallet. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Okay, so here's my principle with that. You know, I don't want to be bought off regarding the truth. Example, somebody says, well, you can come preach in my church, but I'll pay you $10 extra if you don't mention this. No, I'd rather be able to be led of the Spirit of God and preach the whole counsel of the Word of God than to be bought off by somebody trying to pay me to preach or not to preach something. So I'll preach the truth even if it's unpopular. By the way, years ago, the things that are unpopular today wasn't unpopular years ago. A person could get up and they could preach about marriage and that which is right concerning marriage of a male and a female. That wasn't unpopular years ago. That was standard preaching. But today you would consider that unpopular. Years ago, people could get up and they could preach all manners of the Bible and people were less offensive. Well, here's a Bible principle. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So here's my Bible principle. If Jesus purposed in his heart to seek and to save that which is lost, then I must make soul winning a priority in my life. That's just a Bible principle. So we establish Bible principles on the basis of that which is Bible truth. And then we follow that to be able to successfully do what God has called us to do. So you find a Bible truth. You find a Bible truth. And then you adopt that in your personal life. Bible truth about bringing the tithe into the storehouse. Many years ago, I established a Bible principle in my life about tithing and giving offerings. So what have I done? All the years of my life since I've been saved, I've always tithed, I've always given offerings. Why? There's a Bible principle there. So you get Bible principles in your life. Statement number two, some guidelines for living by principle. These are easy. Some guidelines for living by principle. You ready? Put Jesus first. Just put him first. There was a thing that came out years ago. I think it was in the 70s. And people would ask themselves the question, what would Jesus do? You remember that? And that became very, very popular. So give him ultimate leadership and honor him in your life. You know, anything that you do, you ought to think, okay, is it well-pleasing unto the Lord? Is it something that would well please the Lord? Teach the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, till I come. Give, it says, attendance to reading and exhortation and doctrine. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means we're supposed to read our Bible. That means we're supposed to study our Bible. That means we're supposed to memorize our Bible. That means we're supposed to listen to our Bible. That means we're supposed to do that again and again and again and again. The Bible changes people. It changes people. I cannot begin to tell you how God has used the Word of God in my life. over and over again. I remember one time, one message was preached at River Valley Ranch in Millers, Maryland, and I was sitting there as a teenager, and that one message changed the total direction of my life forever. Okay? And so give attention to being able to search the Bible. Statement number next, follow leaders that follow the Bible. You know, find some leaders that follow the Bible. Okay, find some leaders, if you will, please, that, you know, they have success in their child-rearing endeavors. Ask them questions. As a young couple, ask them questions. You know, how is it that you got your child to pay attention? How is it that you got your child to behave? How is it that you taught your child manners? Go to some people that has already gone through the child-rearing stages and be able to ask them questions for your learning's sake. Go to somebody that has the ability to be able to know how to rightfully manage their finances. Go to them and ask them questions, okay? How is it that I can manage my finances in this area? And be able to learn from them, to be able to get some wisdom from them. My daddy used to say, Mike, just because I know electricity doesn't mean I know anything about mechanics. And so I would go to him and I'd say, Daddy, what do you think about this, about changing this in my vehicle? And he said, you're asking the wrong person. Because I can take it apart, but I'll never figure out how to put it back together again. Okay? And so you go to different ones that follow different areas of Bible truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you," it says, "and to esteem them highly in love," it says, "for their work's sake," and it says, "and the peace," it says, "and be at peace among yourselves." So what do? You find those that are working for the Lord in various areas. You know, we have people in our church that they're excellent Bible teachers, okay? We have other people in the church that do a great job in Bible preaching. We have other people in the church that do a great job in Bible counseling. You have other people in the church that has a great job in Bible, being able to give an example, all right? You know, look around and be able to receive help in the area that you need help. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And that's Paul speaking there. Statement number next, stop trying to impress everybody. Stop trying to impress everybody. Well, you know what, preacher, I just tell you what, I just want people to be impressed by the way I do this or by the way that I do that. Here's what I find out, that on most basketball teams, if there's one superstar and only one superstar, most of the time they don't do well all the way through the season. You know, it has to be team work. And so it is, if you will, please, in being able to help in a Sunday school class or sing in the choir. It would be redundantly ridiculous for Brother Palmore to get up and try and lead the singing in the choir if nobody showed up in the choir. Okay? It takes coming together. Now, what does that take? Well, sometimes we have to die to self. You know, like after a church fellowship, and we say, okay, it's time to clean up, and many hands make light work. But if everybody has their own priority, and they shuffle out of there real quick, guess what? It doesn't happen, and the job does not get done. Sometimes we just have to die to self and say, okay, I'll be willing to help, and everybody else says, well, I'll be willing to help, and before you know it, the entire gym gets cleaned up and no time flat. Statement number next, live by Bible standards. Live by Bible standards. Let your behavior be Bible-based. Let your behavior be Bible-based. There's no Christian here under the pitch of my voice or listening online that should ever utter a curse word out of their mouth. Let your example, your behavior be Bible-based, okay? Be willing to be thought of as a fool. Don't worry about what people think about you. You just decide you're going to obey Bible truth and go forward and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all fervency and energy. Statement number next, be willing to be rejected. Be willing to be rejected. Sometimes when you stand for Bible principle, whether it's at work or whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's among friends, sometimes you'll suffer rejection in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you ought to throw the Bible out the back door. That simply means it's a time for you to be able to stand for Christ and do it with a good attitude. You say, well, what if somebody attacks me? You don't want to attack back. You know, the Bible says you're supposed to turn the other cheek, and that's not talking about turning their cheek, okay? You're not supposed to do that. What do? You'd be like Nehemiah. You stand on the wall and you just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep serving Christ. That's what you do. Statement number next. Be controlled by Bible truth, not your opinion. You know, can I tell you, everybody that has an opinion, I'm going to help you out a little bit, will share it at one time or another. You ask somebody, what do you think about this? You know what they're going to tell you? What they thought about that. You ask somebody, do you think you ought to put more sugar in this pie? You just ask them. They're going to tell you how much they put in it or how much they think you should put in it. Okay? Don't be guided, if you will, in your child-rearing endeavors with or trying to help somebody, if you will, by somebody else's opinion. You can read 1,000 books on child-rearing. You can read 1,000 books on how to have leadership capability, and every single one of them is going to be different. If you go to your Bible, it hasn't changed. You ever get a book off the bookshelf in a Christian type of a place to buy books, and you'll see that it's out again, and it's called Revised. A couple years later, it's called Revised. You'll never see that God has revised His Word. Okay, so go by the Bible principles and allow those Bible principles to be able to govern and guide you. Do what God wants you to do when it comes to serving God. Everybody's different. I've said often that many times a person that would serve in the A Sunday school might not be comfortable serving in the B, or somebody serving in the B might not be comfortable serving in the C, or somebody working on this bus route under some so-and-so's leadership might not be comfortable. And so be willing to serve God where He wants you to serve Him. Don't worry about what is in common in our society, but worry about what God expects of you. Worry about that if you're going to worry. Statement number next, stop non-biblical practices. Stop non-biblical practices. My dear dad, when he got saved, there was a time I was so proud of him. I don't think he ever heard a sermon on it. I don't think, honestly, anybody ever talked to him about it, but there was a Holy Ghost of God inside of him, and what took place is after he got saved, he called me up, and he let me know that he was taking all the liquor, and he was pouring it down the drain. Okay? Now, why? Because he had learned some things, and he decided that he was going to stop some unbiblical practices. Statement number next, build your reputation anew. If you must. Build your reputation anew if you must. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay, well, let's say that you faltered. Let's say that you did say that bad word at the place you work. Or let's say that you went outside and you listened to a joke that was not a good joke. You didn't catch on to it, and so you repeated it to somebody else, and now all of a sudden you got a reputation of telling a bad joke. All right? Well, start over again and just rebuild that if you need to. Stop the non-biblical behavior or the non-principled behavior. Start that which is principled behavior. You know, the Bible says to cease to do evil. Then there's that process where it says learn to do good. All right, so you stop something that's unbiblical immediately, and then you start good behavior. Learn from others' Bible principles that they live. Find good Christians. Find good Christians. I am very impressed by young people that find good Christians to be able to follow. A great example is going to be our missions conference coming up. These are great examples. Get close to them. Find out why they believe God called them to a mission field. Find out what God is doing in their heart. Find out the direction in which they're going and why. Statement number next. Biblical principles are not to change. Biblical principles are not to change. Now, why is that? Oh, it's simple. Because God does not change. So biblical principles do not change. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. All right? And so he said, I am the Lord, and I'm just not going to change. Truth will always be truth. Bible will always be Bible. And you don't ever have to apologize for that. God is stable. God is firm. You don't see God quaking in anything. Okay? God is always going to be faithful. God is always going to be firm. You know, he wants us to behave the same way. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be firm. Okay, now why? Because God's word does not change. Listen to this. Over in Psalm 119 and verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, he says, thy word is settled in heaven. In heaven, they're not disputing over that which is the word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. One thing I learned years ago as a young preacher is to allow the word of God to settle in my heart about these matters of Bible truth and Bible standards and beliefs and things of that nature. So because I settled it 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, been preaching now 37 years ago, when a matter arises, I look back and see the principle that I obeyed back then, and God's word hadn't changed, so I still stay the same way. All right, you would do more help by not changing your Bible principle than if you're one of these fellas that every time the Ferris wheel goes round, or you have the roller coaster that goes up and down, I've got to run this way, or I've got to run that. We had a dog years ago, and we go hunting. And can I tell you, the dog was nuts. I mean, the dog was absolutely nuts. Everything that came up in the brush, it would chase. Now, it's supposed to be a rabbit dog. I mean, that's what it was trained for. But man, you had a rat that would run out, he'd chase it. You had a squirrel that would run out, he'd chase it. You had some type of bird that would flicker, he'd run and he'd try and jump up into the leaves and grab it. Okay? You know why? Because we called him Scatterbrain. That was his nickname. But can I tell you this? God's word changes not. It's settled. You don't have to worry about God being unsettled about anything. Okay? So why? Well, Jesus doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, you say, preacher, it's cold outside. Yeah, but we're still supposed to go soul winning. We're still supposed to reach the lost. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm going through something in my life, and it's a perilous time. I don't really care what it is. Can I tell you this, dear friend? You're still supposed to read your Bible. You're still supposed to pray. You're still supposed to come to preaching. You know, the person that allows their soul to quake during diverse times normally is a person that is not as deep with God as what they should be. Now, may I say this, living by unchanging Bible-based principle brings security in our lives, security to our leaders, security to our followers, security in making decisions, security in our emotions, security in our family, security in our future, security, if you will, please, in situations of life. My biggest decision in life is whether or not I follow a Bible principle. That's the biggest decision. And by the way, now I'm saying this in regards to our children. As you train your children that way, as you sit around, and maybe you have family altar, maybe you have family devotions. I hope you do. You know, that's a wonderful time for you as a dad to be able to sit there and say, okay, all right, here's a Bible principle, and here's how we're going to follow Bible truth. And as you train your children in following Bible truth, here's what's going to happen in the future. One day when you become old and gray, and it will happen. Your children will be faced with different diversities in life, and here's what's going to take place. They're going to know exactly how to be able to react according to Bible principle. May I say this? Can I say that this will keep you from becoming a modernist if you just study your Bible? Statement number next, the challenges of living by Bible principle. And by the way, there is challenges in living by Bible principle. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14, the Bible says, the judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, and the truth is fallen in the street. And it says that there is that which is the equality, if you would please, or things that come your way, they're just not going to stand. Now, why? I'm going to tell you why things do not stand. It's simply because things are falling down in the street. You know, if I go out to different places, and I know now because I was talking to different ones that live out in the country, I said, what's your place like? And they said, submerged. It's underwater. okay, well, what's your property like? And they'll say, well, I tell you what, it's just rained so much, it is just crazy. Okay, well, can I tell you, sometimes if we're not careful, that water will cover that which is a trail, or will cover that which is a path. Now, the hardest time for us to ever go hunting when I was coming up as a boy, the hardest time was after a fresh snow, because you just didn't see where things were stirring. You just didn't see where things were moving. And it was very, very hard. So can I say this? You hold the truth up. You be able to show Bible principles to your children. The principles of God's Word should guide us every step of the way. Every step of the way. Find a Bible truth and follow it every step of the way. It's the light onto your path. It'll help you as you go down life's pathway. Statement number next, be sure that Bible principle is more important than popularity to you. Be sure that Bible principle is more important than popularity to you. You follow a Bible principle no matter what comes your way. Follow Bible principle. Okay, statement number next. Principle must be more valuable to you than popularity. And so then we see this, that be sure that your Bible principle is more important to you than personalities. Than personalities are to you. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Personalities do change. I'm going to use example again. But I watched my dear dad go from being somebody that was just on the run all the time to getting sick and then becoming tender. I watched Carl Hatch. I knew Carl Hatch most of my life. Matter of fact, I knew Dr. Hatch before I knew my wife. And I asked him what he thought about Sylvia, and he said, she'll do. And that was not ever impressive to her. But can I tell you this? I watched him, and he had an accident in Pensacola, Florida, where a young person was coming out of a college, hit him broadside in Pensacola, basically crippled one side of him. He walked with a cane all the rest of the days of his life. And here's what I saw about him. He used to preach soul winning with great vigor, but after the accident, he preached soul winning with great compassion. And it changed him completely, the way that he preached, because of that which he went through. And can I say, we understand this, that personalities change. But as personalities change, principles never do. Statement number next, be sure that Bible principle is more important to you than your pride. Well, this is what I'm going to stand for. Okay, but make sure that you're standing on Bible principle. A lot of people stand for something and they wind up falling for anything. So just be careful that you do not get so wound up in pride. Well, you know, I believe this, I'm going to practice this, I'm going to go do this, and I just feel it's right. And so be careful that your pride does not get in the way of you obeying a Bible principle. Be sure that Bible principle is more important than position to you, than position. You know, God will lift up one and put down another. That's who God is. God will be able to lead you and guide you, but sometimes God will lead you and guide you a different direction. Can I tell you this? Be sure, statement number next. Be sure that Bible principle is more important than profit to you. Well, if I compromise just a little bit, I can go into business with this person. Well, if I compromise just a little bit, I can be able to get this kind of money off of it. Well, if I compromise just a little bit, I can cheat on my income tax. Well, if I compromise just a little bit, I've seen people that they've reported that they go into a clothing store and they'll change the tags from one thing to another to be able to get a cheaper deal. You say, well, what do you think about that? Hope they get caught. What I think about that. Be sure that Bible principle is more important to you than profit. Statement number last, be sure that Bible principles are more important to you than some program. Keep your program the way it should be. Make sure that nothing will quake your pillars when it comes to just doing the right thing. When I was sick with pneumonia, I think maybe that's the third time in my life that I've ever missed a church service because I'm programmed. By the way, it's not a bad program, but it's a good program. where I've decided that I'll be faithful to the house of God. I'll be faithful there when it's sunshine out, and I'll be faithful there when it's raining out. I just have some Bible principles about being faithful to the house of God, because those are Bible principles that God gave me, that I've decided that whatever may come, I will still always be faithful to that which is the institution that's called the church, whereby you and I can be able to grow. Now, I'm saying there's some Bible principles. As you put these Bible principles in your life, here's what you're going to find out. You'll make better decisions. As you put Bible principles in your life, you'll find this out, that you'll be more successful. As you put Bible principles in your life, here's what you find out, that you'll have a better end. You'll have a better end. As you put Bible principles in your life, it'll give you better relationships. It'll help you, if you will, please, to be able to guide people. Now, everybody you try to guide might not listen, and that's up to them. That's their prerogative. But still, as a person that knows your Bible, you ought to still give Bible principles, whether somebody listens or not. Okay? That is the mandate that you and I have, is to be able to help even your children, if you will, as they get older and you share a Bible principle. Maybe a child will say, well, I tell you what, I just don't want to do that. Okay? I'm talking about adult children or whatever the case may be. All right, but you are still obligated to be able to share a Bible principle. You're still obligated for that. Okay? You know what is right by Bible truth. And as you share Bible truth, it will help somebody along the way. And that's what God wants us to do. And you can share Bible truth with anyone. You really can. You know, I have different friends that I tell about from time to time that's in the community, and I'll go by and check on them and just see how they're doing. I had a guy just call me today that Brother Denton and I will be preaching for here in a couple of weeks, and can I tell you, over the telephone today, we were talking about Bible truth and Bible principle and things of that nature that would help things to be able to go just a little bit better. Okay? Now, can I tell you, Bible truth you cannot beat. You cannot beat. You ought to be able to sit down with somebody and say, well, let's consider what God has to say. And look at what God has to say. And you just be energized just by knowing your Bible and practicing Bible, because that is what changes a person from the inside out. Now, I'm going to tell you this. One day, you as a daddy, one day you as a mama are going to take your last breath. What will live on through the lives of your young people will be Bible truth. Bible truth. You know, because God uses the Bible as a tool to be able to bring conviction, to be able to give guidance, to be able to show us what to do and what not to do in our lives. God uses the Word of God that changes not. It's amazing to me. I came up under some great men of God that I consider great men of God. I'd hear them preach the Bible. And the same way that I heard them preach the Bible is the same way I hear people preaching the Bible today that are in the Scriptures. And can I tell you, why is that? Because the Word of God changes not. It just changes not. And so you take those Bible principles and put them in your life, and then be able to walk through your life, and you'll find out that in the end, you'll be better off for it.